is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, sign up today for the Summer of Better virtual basketball camp with our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. And remember, you can get up to $2,000 off on any trade-in. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Todd Kowalczyk, head basketball coach at the University of Toledo. You're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly. Mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And although we are still in the slow days of the NBA, we do have breaking news on this late Tuesday night, almost Wednesday morning from Brooklyn. Jay, read the statement.
Well, breaking news is this. The following statement has been released by General Manager Sean Marks. Steve Nash and I, together with Joe Tsai and Clara Wu Tsai, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles yesterday. We have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to build a championship to bring a championship to Brooklyn. The boardroom. I guess.
That's the best part. That's the best part of the whole thing, is that the boardroom is on the statement. I guess this is sort of what we've talked about all along.
This is Kobe. Like,
whatever, 2007, right? When he was going to go to the Clippers.
It's fitting that this happened on his birthday.
Yes. Happy 44th.
Yeah. So, happy 44th, I don't know. Kobe. I just think, you know, listen, we ultimately, I mean, I didn't know if he was going to get traded or not, but ultimately, I'm not super surprised that he's going to end up staying. Like, this whole thing is a clown show. There are clowns everywhere, as we say. It's a clown show. It's ridiculous. And the bottom line is this. They were never going to trade Kevin Durant if, like, they weren't going to get something really good for him. Now, there was a report yesterday Shams had that Memphis was interested in trading a whole bunch of stuff for him, but I don't understand. I don't know if that was just some smoke and mirrors garbage or what, but in the end, I think this is probably the smartest move for both pieces, because obviously Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA, or one of the best players in the NBA, I should say. The Nets need him. They're not going to get anything. They're not going to get enough back to make them as good of a contender as they will be with them. And at the same time, Kevin Durant has 4 years left on his contract. It's not like he's just going to walk away from the money. So I think this is what I kind of felt like was going to eventually happen, that he was going to play, but at the same time, I don't know, just a clown show, Mike.
There's nothing out there really for Brooklyn to trade for, because you're not going to get back anywhere near equal value for Durant. When you go back and you look at the Rudy Gobert trade and what Utah was able to get from Minnesota for Gobert, there's nothing even remotely similar out there that you've even heard rumored that a team could get from, that Brooklyn could get from somebody else. And so it makes almost no sense for them to trade him. And as you said, from Durant's perspective, he's not going to sit out. And so with 4 years left on his contract, it sort of became this staring contest. And I guess they could have continued the staring contest right up until training camp or right up to the start of the regular season. But ultimately, there just wasn't any other options, because Brooklyn didn't have anybody that they could trade with to get back equal value. And Durant had little to no leverage in trying to force his way out, and specifically trying to force his way out to certain teams that just didn't have the package of assets to be able to bring back that would make any sense for Brooklyn. Phoenix, when you look at that, once Ayton signed, you're going to center that deal around Mikal Bridges, who maybe is, as he develops in his career, maybe he becomes the third best player on a potential championship team, maybe. And he's probably more likely to be guy four or five. And that's the centerpiece of your package for Durant, who's arguably one of the 15 best players in the history of the league. That doesn't make sense. And then the other place that Durant wanted to go was Miami. And because of that rookie extension clause in the CBA, where you can't have two guys on that rookie max extension, you couldn't have Simmons on the roster and Bam. So you're not going to be able to make that trade without doing something with Simmons. And it's just, everything becomes more complicated. And then what else does Miami have that Brooklyn even wants that's remotely comparable in value? You put that package, you center it around Tyler Hero. Good luck with that. So this outcome, I think, was inevitable. I just don't see any other way that it was going to turn out. And yet, the million-dollar question is, do you buy it?
No. I don't have anything else to add. I don't.
I would agree. I do not buy it in any way, shape, or form either. There's just no way. I look at it and you say, okay, theoretically, one of our favorite words here on the Hoopheads pod, the theoretical Brooklyn Nets should be pretty good. Theoretically, you have Kevin Durant, as we said, a all-time top 15, top 10 player in league history. Not quite at his apex, but certainly still close. You have the best version of Kyrie Irving, whether that guy still exists or not. Let's just imagine that he does. And the skill set that Kyrie brings to the game. Then you have Ben Simmons. You get the best version of Ben Simmons, which again, who knows if that guy exists. But the very best version of Ben Simmons, where he's playing downhill offensively. He's handling the ball. He's screening and rolling. He's setting up the type of shooting that Brooklyn potentially could put out on the floor. You could potentially have a lineup of, their starting lineup could be Kevin Durant, one of the all-time greatest shooters in the history of the league. Kyrie Irving, arguably one of the best shooters in the game today. Joe Harris, back from injury as a former three-point champion, and prior to his injury, one of the best three-point shooters in recent history. And Seth Curry, with Simmons being the guy sort of facilitating and getting into the lane and kicking out. I know in his last season before he melted down, I believe that he generated, it was either him or Harden. He was either one and Harden was two, or vice versa, in terms of generating three-point shots for teammates. So on paper, theoretically, that starting lineup. And then obviously you have some depth that you could bring in behind those guys. You got Nick Claxton, you got Cam Thomas, you got Blake Griffin's decaying, decomposing corpse. And you've got TJ Warren potentially, if he could come back from injury, which again, we're talking theoretical because he hasn't played for, I don't know, 2.5 years or whatever it's been. You've got Patty Mills. This team, the best version, if they were to get the best version of everybody on their roster, this is a championship team, in all honesty, if you get the best version of every guy on their roster. But I said this way back when these two guys first got together, meaning Durant and Irving, and then when they added James Harden, that the personalities of these guys and the way that they seemingly want to interact or don't want to interact out on the floor gives you absolutely zero confidence they're actually going to be able to turn this theoretical team into a real basketball team. I do think that this is the best outcome for everybody involved. It's the most likely outcome, but the odds of this working, I think, are infinitesimal to any degree where they're actually a legitimate championship contender. I would be beyond stunned if this team actually...
I think the Cavs are better, Mike.
You might be right. I don't think I will be stunned if at any point during this season, I'm talking about after 5 games, I'm talking about after 20 games, I'm talking about after 50 games. I just don't think at any point during this season will anybody look at Brooklyn. And again, maybe people are talking theoretically that, oh, if this team can just put it together, or oh, if this guy can just come back from injury, or oh, if this will just work out. But I don't think there's going to be any point during this season.
If I was 4 inches taller and right. 30 more pounds
with muscle, then I'd be in the NBA.
I just don't see any scenario where this team becomes a legitimate team in the discussion to win an NBA championship. Yep. I just don't see it. Whether you just talk about the personalities, whether you talk about injuries, whether you talk about who knows what Ben Simmons is or isn't at this point. Kyrie's played an average of 30 games over the last 3 seasons. Durant's 34. He's already had the Achilles.
Ben Simmons has played the same amount of NBA games as I have in the last 500 days. So that doesn't bode
well. I just don't think you had the news came out, right, with Simmons, the story that came out that the team asked him to play, or he was in the group text and They asked him if he was going to play.
He refutes the report.
Okay. Well, let's just say that's not true. Regardless, showing up in the green lambskin for the playoff games and then not playing, that was enough for me to question his sanity. So I just think this team, it's a mess.
Hey, Mike,
congratulations
to
Brooklyn.
You still going to hook your team to his wagon, not Joel Embiid. So.
Yeah, I'll have to, again, I said that back a long time ago. I really thought Simmons was the guy I would have hitched my way.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it back
No,
up.
It's all good, man. It's all good. If I had been the GM of the Sixers, I would have been fired quite quickly. Although Philly's been through a lot of GMs since the process started.
All right, so
I would have been just one in a long line of succession there.
I have a question, Mike.
Okay, go for it.
We've had our over-under of Zion Williamson games.
Okay.
Well, now it's time to do it with Ben Simmons.
Okay. Over-under how many games in his career or how many games this season?
Let's do this season. There's 82-game season. We're going to assume they're going to at least make the playoffs, but let's just do their 82-game regular season. I'm going to set the over-under. I'll set it at 30, because I think that's more intriguing, because I think if I say 41, it's a definite under. So okay. I'm going to go 30, Mike. Is he play 30 games this season?
I got to say yes. I think – now, I haven't heard anything
said,
really.
If I would have said 41, would have you gone under?
I think I still would have gone over. I think I still would have gone over. Because here's the thing. I don't know. I haven't heard much in the way of reports about where he is physically with his back.
Him and Zion are in the same place. They're in the abyss that we don't know.
It seems unlikely that a guy who's 26 years old is basically going to become a shell of himself and not be able to play. But I think the bigger question with Simmons is, does he want to play? Is he willing to fight through a little bit of adversity? Is he willing to fight through whatever yips he got involved with back in the playoffs against the Hawks that caused him to shoot 34% from the line? Why doesn't the guy shoot three? There's just so many things that are weird about him. And yet at the same time, I find it hard to believe that he's going to be completely physically broken down to the point where he's not going to be able to get out on the floor. Now, he may get out on the floor and not play very well. And he may be a guy that, who knows, maybe he looks like Markelle Fultz when Fultz just completely lost it and couldn't shoot and basically, again, had the yips, had a mental breakdown, whatever it is. That's, I think, more likely than him physically breaking down, which leads me to believe that they're going to kind of keep throwing him out there because the theoretical Brooklyn Nets and Ben Simmons, hey, man, that's a championship team. Would you want to pay Ben Simmons? You know what his salary is this year?
Too much money.
I just have the Nets roster pulled up with all the salaries. Ben Simmons is due to make $35 million this season. How excited are you if you are Joe Tsai and Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets organization that you get to pay $35 million a year for Ben Simmons? I guess, Mike, you could be paying James Harden. So, I mean, it's six of one, a half dozen of the other. I wouldn't be excited to pay either one of those guys any amount of money to be on my team. I would not, at this point, I would not want either one of them on my team based on what we've seen over the last couple of years. So, no thanks there. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more. All right, I think that's enough on the theoretical Brooklyn Nets. Good luck to Steve Nash, Joe Tsai, Durant, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, Sean Marks, the whole Brooklyn crew. Don't forget Rich Kleiman and Boardroom. Congratulations for getting your logo up on the tweet that made everything come together beautifully for a championship contender. So let's move on from one faux championship contender to another and talk a little bit of Lakers and LeBron.
My dreams of the last 2 weeks have been dashed, Mike. Although someone put a compelling argument out there, Mike. I don't really want to, that this doesn't mean that dreams of him coming to the Cavs in the next 2 years are dead. I didn't read the article. It's pie in the sky, but LeBron signed a 2-year contract extension with the Lakers for almost $100 million. The second year is a player option again. So that means he's locked up for
2 years.
2 years, yeah.
This year, and then the extension kicks in next season.
So that means he's definitely locked up for 2 years, could possibly be locked up for three, correct? That's accurate?
Correct. Now, he could – I know that I read something that he signed the contract the day of or the day following a date in the CBA where he cannot be traded for – 1 year from him signing that extension. If he had signed it a day earlier, he could have been traded at the trading deadline. But since he signed it on whatever day that was last week, that pushed him into a category where he cannot be traded for 1 year. So any thoughts out there for teams that were considering the fact that LA might decide to cut bait with LeBron? They can't do that for at least a year. He's not coming to Cleveland in the next 2 years. I don't see a scenario where it made sense in some way if he had become a free agent next summer when the Cavs should have some cap space or could have cleared the cap space to sign him outright without having to trade any assets in order for that to happen. Now, they might not have been able to re-sign some guys that they wanted to re-sign, but they could have definitely cleared the cap space in order to bring in LeBron. but there's no way that this team is going to trade players or future assets, especially not the type of players and future assets that the Lakers would want in order to trade LeBron a year from now, let's say. There's no way this Cavs team is going to do that. I just don't see any scenario where that happens.
Yeah. So Mike, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who's going to have a better record this year? The Cleveland Cavaliers or the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think you have to say the Cavs, because you look at, unless the Lakers get rid of Westbrook, that whole thing is just going to be a debacle to an even greater level than it was last year. The odds that AD stays healthy and plays 60 games, I don't know what odds you were giving me on Simmons playing 30, but the odds on Anthony Davis playing 60 have got to be infinitesimal. And LeBron's been in LA for 4 years, and 3 out of the 4 years he's missed significant amounts of time with injury, which up until that point in his career had never happened to him. So it seems as though it's likely that at some point during this season, LeBron's going to miss 25 to 30 games. AD, who knows? And the rest of that roster just isn't good enough to do anything without the two of those guys at their peak. So I would expect that the Cavs are going to end up with a better record than the Lakers. I think Brooklyn has a better chance to have a better record than, I think Brooklyn ends up with a better record than the Lakers. I think the Lakers miss the playoffs completely. I don't even think they make the play-in.
Oh, come on, Mike.
I'm telling you, guys are going to get hurt. I don't see them staying healthy. I don't see them staying healthy enough to compete. I just don't. Father Time's starting to win, man.
Oh, man. It's sad. If he was on the, and you know what's, I don't understand, I mean, I guess I understand it from his perspective, because, but, like, if he really wants to win a championship, like, why would he sign that contract? I don't get it.
So it comes down to two things, right? I think what you're looking at is there's two possibilities. Possibility one is his family's in LA now. That's where he's established his home base. He wants
Space
to play
Space Jam
for,
3.
I don't think that is what's driving this decision. I hope not. But I think it's more just, this is where he lives now. This is the franchise that he wants to play for whatever reason. And as a result of that, the fact that he doesn't want to disrupt his family, he's just going to sign with LA. He can make the most money there. And that's where all his business interests are. So he's just decided, I'm going to play for the Lakers. Hopefully it'll work out. But if it doesn't, I'm home. The second reason, or the second thought process, which I can't imagine this is the case, but maybe he's delusional enough to think that him and a healthy AD and whatever they can scrounge out of the rest of the roster, and maybe somehow they can figure out a way out of the Russell Westbrook deal. But now, look, Brooklyn's not trading Kyrie for Russell Westbrook. So Westbrook's not an asset. So whatever you trade, it's not like you're trading Westbrook and you're getting back good stuff that's going to help you to win a title if you're the Lakers. You're trading Russ and probably having to attach those 27 and 29 first round picks. That's not helping you to win a title. So either LeBron's delusional, or he just is saying, I'm happy to stay here in LA, and the Lakers have always been able to reload, and I'm confident that I'm good enough and AD's good enough, and the lure of Los Angeles is going to be enough to bring somebody in here that's going to allow us to compete for a championship over the course of the next 2 years. And maybe he is delusional, or maybe he just thinks it's home and he's okay with it. I don't know what the right answer is, but it does seem odd that he didn't just play it out based on his history, but priorities may be different than they were 10 years ago. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't get it. Did you see his new grill? And his tooth?
Like the George Foreman grill?
Well,
I thought he had a, I thought he had a new product or something.
He got a crown on one of his teeth. Okay. Like the LeBron crown.
A gold crown?
I don't know what color it is, because the picture he posted is in black and white.
Is it on his front tooth?
It's on his, like, I don't know what that's called. It's not in your molar.
Is it incisor?
It might be his incisor.
His canines?
It might be his incisor, like, if you're looking at him. So it would be on his right incisor, I believe.
Okay. All right. And it's like a crown? Like an actual crown?
No. It's his logo from his shoes. It's on his actual...
It's on the tooth. Stay classy, LeBron.
Listen, it's about branding, baby.
Well, hey, I'm probably due for some dental work. I'm going to have to get the Hoop Heads Pod logo on one of my teeth.
Yeah.
What do you think? Good move?
Yeah.
Are you going to endorse that?
And then you could get...
Well, you haven't showed people your back tattoo. Your Hoop Heads Pod back tattoo.
No, I was going to tell you.
Says Jay Sunkel, host of the Hoop Heads Pod.
No, I was going to tell you across your chest you should get a tattoo that says there are clowns everywhere.
Yeah, that could be good. That could be a good one too. I think I'm going to pass on the tattoos. I'm going to pass on the tattoos. I'm not a big tat guy. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm not a big.
Oh no, I'm not a tattoo guy.
I'm not a fan of like. I would never get one myself, but I'm not a big fan of.
There was one point in my life that I considered getting a tattoo. I'm kind of glad I didn't. The tattoo I was gonna get.
Yeah, what was it?
It was gonna be Chief Wahoo.
Oh, nice. All right.
I considered it for like a week, and then I realized I didn't really want that on my body the rest of my life. So
probably a good call, because now you would have had to scratch it out.
Put one of the guardians on there. I would have had them change it and just say long live or something.
Okay. That's fair. Well, I think you made the right move.
I hung my stuff up in my classroom today. Those of you out there, my first day of teaching tomorrow. And I have rally towels from the 90s, from the Indians games in the 90s. I have them hanging in my classroom. And I said to my principal, is this okay? And he's like, oh, it's honoring the history of the past. So that was my –
All right. Well, there you go.
That's my rationale. I'm keeping it up there.
There you go. Well, I don't know what LeBron's rationale is, but it is what it is. And he's going to be in L.A. for the next 2 years. Here's my last question for you. We'll wrap up here. Does he ever suit up and play another game for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I think so.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I think so.
You think he plays another full season, or you think they sign him for some ceremonial thing and he comes out and gets a standing O for one game? You really think he's going to play a season here?
I think he's going to play a season here.
Really?
I think his last season is going to be here.
Interesting.
Right off into the sunset.
How many years away is that, you think?
4.
So he signs this.
He plays a year with Bronny, wherever Bronny ends up.
Plays that year. But he said he wanted his last year in the league to be with Bronny.
Well, then Bronny come to Cleveland. Draft him.
I say no. I say he doesn't suit up for the Cavs ever again. I don't see how it makes sense for either side, especially not 2 more years down the road. Other than maybe, again, like I said, a ceremonial. He signs like after he's basically retired, he plays one game or they announce him or whatever, and he comes out and plays. I don't see him playing another season. Okay. It seems improbable to me at this point, but who knows?
All right. We got one more thing to talk about, Mike.
What's that?
Our Brown segment. Deshaun, okay. 11 games. We said under one game played. It seems like he's going to get one game.
Definitely seems that way, unless he gets hurt, right? He's going to play the last 5 games of the year, I would think. Six games of the year, right? Because we're playing 17 now, so I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the bottom line, right, is no matter how you look at it, there's people on both sides of the fence. You don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there's anybody out there besides the people who are in those rooms that knows what happened. If he really didn't do anything it seems odd that all this stuff has kind of come out and so many women raised these charges and said that he did this. Seems odd, but 11 games just seems like a weird number to me. It seems like a weird number from the NFL standpoint. Well,
not only that, he's going to come back and play in Houston this first game back.
It's almost like the NFL is just kind of thumbing their nose at, yeah, we had to suspend him, but we're going to make this a huge game when he comes back and have him play against his former team. It just, everything about it is just strange. And clearly, if he did what he did, 11 games is nowhere near enough. And I don't know. Like, people are mocking the Browns for signing him and saying that they would sign him and some of the other weird comments that the Haslams made over the course of that press conference after it was announced. But I think the bottom line is that you can say whatever you want, but there's probably 20 other teams that if they knew, hey, Deshaun Watson's going to get suspended for 11 games and then he's going to be available to you as your franchise quarterback going forward as a 26-year-old, there's 20 to 25 teams in the league that would gladly sign up for that. It's easy to make fun of the Browns, and I'm not saying that it's not to some degree deserved, but I think it's disingenuous for other teams or people to say, hey, these other teams wouldn't do that, because I think a lot of other teams would have done it just the same way the Browns did. And I think they're being honest that sure they would have done it, because now you miss Deshaun Watson for 11 games. Maybe you kind of throw away this season if they can't get good quarterback play from Brissett or if they bring in somebody else, who knows. But they might be able to even salvage this season, and then you could potentially have, look, the way quarterbacks age today, you could have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback at a super high level for the next 10 or 12 years. Is it worth him missing 11 games to sign up for that if he's as good as he was before all this and before sitting out 2.5 years of football? If he's that guy, if he's that good, just about every team in the league would sign up for that.
Yep, I agree. Listen, I agree. Well, I might as well just talk about it. I know you've been watching a lot about the Guardians, Mike. Are they going to win the division?
Is that baseball?
They have the best record in the AL, or in the best record in the majors since the All-Star break, I think. Oh, best record in the AL since the All-Star break. They have a 2.5 game lead. They're currently winning 3-1. Jose Ramirez just crossed 100 RBIs. Will you watch them? You'll watch them in the playoffs, right, Mike? You watch them
if they make the play. If they make the playoffs, now I won't. I probably won't watch inning 1 to inning 9, but I'll pay attention once they get to the playoffs.
Okay, all right.
I'm gonna hold you to that. Paying attention, I would say,
is looking at the box score.
Well, your mileage may vary on what paying attention means, because here's the thing, as the years continue to tick past, my general level of interest in baseball continues to go
downward.
Down and down and down and down and down and down. It's like if you went back and you asked me, and I think we talked about this before on the podcast, but if you wanted me to talk about the rosters of baseball teams in the 80s or 90s, I could probably go through and name 150 baseball players. And if you asked me to go through the rosters in the major leagues today, I could probably name 10 players total in the whole entire league. Maybe more, but not many more than that. And so it's hard for me to then be as into, even when it's the Guardians/Indians, I'll be excited. I'll be interested in it, but it's still not the same because I'm watching and I'm just not familiar. I'm just not spending a lot of time paying attention to what's going on in Major League Baseball. And so as a result, I don't really have much tangential knowledge of what's going on with other teams or who we're playing or that kind of thing. So I'll watch, I'll pay attention to it. But when the Indians were in the playoffs in 95 or even in 2017, I probably
2016, Mike.
16, whatever.
Come on, Mike.
What year was it? 2016?
Yes.
have no idea.
Come on. It was the same year the Cavs won the championship. My God.
Yeah, I don't know. It all runs together, man. I'm getting old. Anyway, yeah, I'll pay attention to it. But again, my level of interest will not be as high as it's been. And I think my level of interest in baseball is only going to continue to plummet. So anyway, all right, okay, let's leave
sorry.
It there.
Yeah, well, sorry.
That's it. We added a couple segments we weren't planning on. So, well, I guess you were planning on the Browns segment. So
the Browns segment and the Guardians/Indians segment just kind of happened because it's going on. They're playing on the West Coast right now. So,
all right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, to everyone out there, thanks for listening to us rant about the Brooklyn Nets fiasco and LeBron re-signing with the Lakers and, in my mind, closing the door on ever playing for the Cavs. In Jason's mind, the door is still open for him maybe to play another season with the Cavs at some point in the future. But we will see. Hopefully at some point here, we will be able to get back to talking about some actual basketball. We're probably not that far away from starting to get to talk about a little bit about, hey, what's going to be happening and talking previews and that kind of stuff. So we appreciate you joining us on this NBA episode of the Hoopheads Pod, even during this slow part of August here in the NBA calendar. So thank you. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.